This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Dan Cook, News Talk 830 WCCO. Our friend and Friday regular Matthew Collar joins us at the bottom of the hour, a little playoff talk. And the Vikings' search for a general manager and coach continues. They're expected to interview a total of three coaching candidates today. So we'll enjoy the conversation with Matthew at the bottom of the hour. But it's always a pleasure to be joined by our friend, John Hines, Twin Cities music legend, radio legend. Hinesy is with us. First of all, sir, how are you and where are you?
Well, it's not important where I am. Well, I guess maybe it is. I'm near Sarasota, St. Armand Circle, after coming from Siesta Key and walking on the beach for a while. So, yes, it's, when I say I'm on the beach, I'm actually on the beach. So
Literally. The beach. Well, three of us are jealous. We're trying to stay above zero on a regular basis. I appreciate you coming on. I know this is not an easy day because of your friendship with Louis Anderson and the news that Louis has passed away from blood cancer. Tell me when you first met Louis.
Oh, gosh, when it was only one comedy club in the Twin Cities, Mickey Finn's, on the edge of downtown Minneapolis, East Hennepin. I think that was East Hennepin, right off of University and Hennepin. And I was going there to see if I could do it. And that's when I learned I could not do stand-up comedy. But watching the likes of so many so many greats, including Jeff Cesario and the like, and then there was Louis. And we would go out afterwards till all hours of the morning and go to Bambi's Pizza down on Central. And I would end up giving Louis a ride back to South Minneapolis when he was at St. Joseph's Children's Home. And we instantly hit it off. We became friends. Maybe, Chad, because of our family backgrounds. He came from a large family, as did I. So not as big as his family, but he had quite a family.
When you first saw him perform, what jumped out at you most?
Well, he was self-deprecating to begin with, but he was also just his timing. And then he did, what do you call it? The recapture, where you say something early on and then you come back around to it
again.
And he was just a master of that. And then also talking about his family. He was, his comedy centered around his family, and you remember that he won that Emmy Award for Baskets for playing playing the mother. And I asked him once, I said, what went into that? And he said, oh, I just channeled Orla. Orla was his delightful mother, who I had the pleasure to meet backstage at the Guthrie a number of years ago. But he is just he was so good with the timing and everything, Chad. You just couldn't possibly imagine.
John, we were talking about that because Adam, and Adam certainly wasn't the only one, but Adam put out there and tweeted Louis' first appearance on Carson. And it's a little less than 7 minutes. and he is self-deprecating, in particular about his appearance and his weight, and his timing and his comfortability is flawless. He just hits it the entire time to the point that he walks off, and he's already behind the curtain. And Johnny says, come on back, take another bow, and then comes out and shakes his hand. And we're both old enough to know that is what every comedian wanted. And to get that on your first Carson appearance was a thrill of a lifetime, and it also was a rarity.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. To be invited back, to be invited to then to come over and sit down. Yeah, and Louis found that early. He was so fortunate, but it's because he was good. And that was the bottom line truth. Yeah, I used to love to listen to Louis do his father. You know, he'd talk about riding in the car with his brother and his dad, and you'd see something out of the ordinary walking down the sidewalk, and my father would pull that Buick over and slow that car down and say, would you look at that? And it just, it's like nothing offended Louis, but everything offended those around him. When Louis would talk about Orla getting onto the, I'll just pop on the freeway. And I just made the same gesture that Louis would make. Maybe I'll just pop on there. 20, 30, 40, 30, 20, as he was trying to get onto the freeway. I mean, yeah. It was just so good, and so much of it was his family.
Yeah.
And he shared it. I had a chance to go see him when he was the house comedian, the house act at Excalibur for a while. And a buddy and I were there, and my buddy bought the meet and greet tickets. And so we're sitting in the theater before Louis goes on, and Louis going table to table. Hi, how are you? Yeah, yes, nice to meet you. Where are you from? And he gets over to where my buddy and I are sitting, and he comes over, and he's going to start to say things. John Hines. And he turns to everybody in the audience that was there early for the meet and greet and introduces me. And it's just like, you know, no, I'm just along for the ride. So, oh, yeah, he was so good.
John, Adam Carter here. Be sure to tip the Calypso band playing behind you, by the way.
Yes.
Loving the steel drum.
I was going to say that. Here's Wayne.
Adam.
Yeah.
Adam, it's one guy and an iPad and a steel drum, and I don't even know if he's playing it or just touching various places on it. It's like it's a keyboard almost.
I love it. For a radio host for as many years, having comedians on, and you know this better than anyone, having a comedian on the radio is always problematic because, you know, there's no live studio audience. But talk to me about how Louis was such a great radio guest, not only on your show, but so many other shows, and so good to the local radio stations and local media here in town.
Well, because you know this, Adam, from listening, from watching, from hosting and such, you get a lot of comedians who come in, and they don't want to do their bit.
Right.
Because
yes.
It's like, well, I'm going to be on, you know, at Acme later on tonight, right, and I don't want to do it here. It's like, come on. You know, you must have more material than just that, but Louis would never hesitate. Louis Anderson was fine to just do it. You know, he would. Oh God, when you would see him talking about so many Minnesota things, and he made it universal. But talk about how cold it got here, and it's like you never let your jumper cables out of your sight. I don't know. He just, yeah, but yeah, what you said, Adam, he was so good, and he would come on and do the bit, and but he had a wealth of material. I used to love, there was a bit that he stopped doing, but he was doing it back at Mickey Finn's, and you've been to the State Fair, and you remember the Royal American shows on the Midway with at the time they referred to it as the freak show or whatever. And Louis would do this bit where it'd be like he put on a pith helmet and it'd be like, they're alive, they're real, and they're behind the curtain. For the next show only, everybody gets in on a child's ticket. And it was, if you've been to the State Fair and he would do this, and you knew exactly what he was doing, and you saw that guy on stage at the Royal American shows in the Midway. It was great. And Louis, he's just great at picking up on all of these things.
John Hines is with us. You better recognize John's voice from this remarkable career he has had. We're talking about his longtime great friend, Louis Anderson, who's passed away today. Hinesy, we know this from interviewing people, especially folks on the entertainment side, that at times who they are on stage or acting or maybe even on the radio, that isn't really who they are behind the scenes. The person that we heard or saw as Louis Anderson, entertainer, how close was that to Louis Anderson, your friend?
Oh, absolutely the same person. You know, and Louis, something else that was very important to Louis over the years was his sober New Year's Eve. I don't know if you remember this, but Louis would come in and he would do a New Year's Eve show, and it was an alcohol-free show. And that was a big deal to Louis, just to be able to come in and do a sober New Year's Eve. It's something worth sharing. When I heard, I knew that he was in the hospital, that he had the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I know that this is something that you guys are both very familiar with from those who have suffered from that. But and then I get a call this morning saying, oh, Louis died. It's like, wait a minute, I just heard yesterday that he was in the hospital. And apparently it was more serious, the complications from the cancer more serious than even I was aware.
We should mention, because you must have played him thousands of times, Meatloaf also passed away today, right? When you think about all your years listening to Meatloaf, what strikes you most about his career, John?
I went, a mutual friend of ours, Tom Bernard, hooked me up with tickets to go to the State Theater. He had an act there called April Wine when he was working for the record business. But the Meatloaf was the headliner. And Meatloaf comes out on stage, and I had never seen him before. I had no idea who he was or what he did. And just instantly fell in love. Instantly fell in love. And doesn't everybody wonder, you know, about I would do anything for love, but I won't do that? Yeah. What was that?
What was that?
What is it?
What was that? Oh, God, I was an instant Meatloaf fan. And if you've ever done music radio and it's like putting on Paradise by the Dashboard Lights and then being able to get up and go to the bathroom
or have a cigarette or two.
Yeah. As long as you don't get locked out of the studio.
Yes.
So yeah. Oh, huge Meatloaf fan. Absolutely. Without a doubt. And the problem was so much of what he did was too long for top 40 radio. I'm sure KQ got to play a whole lot more of it than I ever would. So,
yeah, roughly.
It was cool.
Is there any way we could get you to join this guy who's playing right now? Just where you could just go up there and
I'd have a better odds of joining the truck driver who just went by. That dog is not going to hunt. Not today.
Yes. But you know, it's always a pleasure, sir, when we have you on. Good to hear the voice. Glad you're in such a warm location. Our sympathies to you for losing such a good and longtime friend. But thanks for coming on again and sharing these stories.
Thanks for the invitation. Just to have a moment to say a few extra things that that everybody already knew about Louis, but I had a chance just to add my two cents. Just one of the good guys.
Good way to end.
Thanks Johnny.
Heinze.
Later, gentlemen.
John Heinze on WCCO. Check out the podcast. So simple to do. Go to Odyssey. Go to the app. Sign up. You can get the. You can listen once you sign up for segments. You can listen for hours. Whatever you would like. Love to have you on board. Matthew Caller. He's 10 minutes away. Adam and Dan, let's talk about Governor Walz and clearly an election pitch, okay, with the Walz checks, with an ode to the Jesse checks, okay?
Come on.
0 to 10 likelihood this happens if it's not an election year. I'm at a 0.001. That's about where I'm at right now. The Senate Majority Leader. Here's what he has to say. Jeremy Miller. Walz checks are nothing more than an election year gimmick and will barely cover the inflationary cost of everyday necessities. We'll propose permanent ongoing targeted tax relief for working Minnesotans so they see savings every single year. The Walz checks are this. $175 for a single tax filer earning up to $164,000. Double that. Check for a married joint filers making up to $273,000, $700 million distributed in checks. Now let's go back to when Jesse's such a showman. He's, you know, he's so atypical. Jesse sold these babies all the time, Adam. I mean, talked about him all the time, named him after himself.
Yeah.
When Trump was giving money out. Yeah. He waited till he had his own name on the checks, right? Not the Treasury Secretary. We got a $7.7 billion surplus. There should be permanent tax relief. Period. End of statement from me. I'm sorry. I get it. This has been unlike any time we've had in 100 years with COVID and all the federal money. $7.7 billion. It is abundantly crystal clear we are overtaxed.
Whoa. So easy there, Jason Lewis.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But I think it might work a little bit.
Yeah. It absolutely works. I got a $180 check. Got a $350 check. That's great. And he puts some Republicans in a bind because they're like, what's the first thing they say when we have a huge surplus? Give it back.
Yes.
Give it back. And now they're arguing, well, we say all of it. Give it all back. And it's certainly not all of it. But so
it's shrewd.
Yeah.
It's shrewd. It's a game. What a shock. A politician is playing around with your emotions. Now, Dan, you chime in for – Walz is the favorite against anybody under this guideline because Democrats just have so many more voters in the state. Yeah. Republicans haven't won a statewide race since 2006. I am not saying that it's a mortal lock Tim Walz is going to win, but it's just we're approaching 16 straight years in one of the main statewide races and a Republican hasn't won. Sure, the Democrat is going to be the favorite. So Democrats are already going to the most ardent Democrats are already in. The most ardent Republicans are already out. How do you think this plays, Cook, with center left, center right, and just purely independents on the Walz checks?
I think it plays pretty well. I think it does. I think, you know, there's a reason it works so well for Jesse. I think there's a reason it works so well for the president. And it's just, like you said, it's a brilliant strategic move in the sense that if you're a Republican, how do you argue against this? You know, how do you say, no, we're not going to give money back to people when that's, you know, a conservative position forever and a day? There's some gimmickiness to it. But I've long been of the opinion, especially in the state when we've run surpluses as many times as we had, that's our money. That's our money. You've collected more money than you budgeted that you were going to collect. That's our money. We should get that money back. So, yeah, is there some political gimmickiness to it? Yeah, but fine. I don't really care. You know, where's my check? Give me my money back.
Here's the other thing, too, on this, Adam, and then we'll break. You can do weather. I'll grab Q, and we'll talk to caller. You look at the size of the budget in this state. Just look at it from Pawlenty on, and how enormous it increases every single year. I normally have it, this on me, but just go back. Just look at what the state budget was, Tim Pawlenty's last year to now.
Yeah.
We don't have to have that size increase every single year.
No.
We just don't.
No.
But we do. You respond. I got to grab Q. And then we'll talk to caller. You can take it to break. Hey, if you want to just sing for a half hour and dump caller, it's your call. It's your show, right?
Don't tempt me. I might. I'll lock that studio door. We'll cut you off, buddy.
Thank you. 2:30. I'm going to the bus.
Okay. 2:32 News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll get your traffic, weather, and Matthew Caller, Purple Insider, coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Matthew Caller's good friend Meatloaf brings us back into the conversation. Sad news today. Meatloaf passes away. Louis Anderson passes away. We talked about both at times. Caller, if you had to pick one, you're more of a fan of Louis Anderson or more of a fan of Mr. Loaf? Who are you picking?
Well, I can't say I know a lot of Meatloaf's catalog, to tell you the truth. It's a little before me. But Louis Anderson was hilarious. And he had – there was a brief show that was – maybe it was called like the Louis Anderson Show that I remember watching and thinking was super funny. And it didn't last for very long. But
animated
I thought
show.
That he had so, like such a great attitude toward comedy. Some people's comedy is just like really mean or whatever else. And I just thought he was straight up funny. And it's not an easy thing to do, to be consistently funny without being a total jerk.
Yes. Well stated. We had John Hines on earlier. John knows Louis well. People can go back and podcast that. Just go to Odyssey.com or the Odyssey app, and we talked about both of them earlier in the show, so please take a look at the podcast. Speaking of podcasts, that's a part of what you get when you sign up for Purple Insider. Matthew runs it. Good crew, expanding crew. Mailbag today, analysis on the GM position, the coaching position. Good insight for you every single day. So go find it, Purple Insider. Matthew, when somebody is single, they may be talking to a friend, and a friend might say, "So what's your type?" And some might say, "Well, here's my type," or "I don't have a type." I think with the Vikings, Matthew, we got a type. I mean, we got a type on the GM position. We got a type on the head coaching position. We want young. We want energy. We don't want a lot of experience as a head coach or GM either. We want to get somebody on the rise. I don't think there's any doubt this is in reaction to Mike Zimmer Rick Spielman, and what has worked across the league the last 5-10 years or so.
Yeah, I think that the word is just like modernize and refresh, because things became old and they became toxic with Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman. That, you know, they had both been around for so long, you get the headbutting, you get the egos, you get the finger pointing, all that sort of stuff. And it also didn't feel like a lot of people in the front office felt appreciated or involved as much as maybe they were in the past, that it seemed like it was the Rick and Mike show and that was it. And then by the end, they were, you know, throwing barbs at each other too, or at least Mike was. Rick never talks to the public. So unless NFL Network calls him to put him on a podcast, I guess then he's available. But,
yes.
You know, refreshing this whole thing, getting some modern thinkers in, getting some people who have been a part of a really good roster build. And Tom Pelissero reports that the Vikings are down to two. Ryan Poles, for GM, that is, the VP of football operations, he's the director of player personnel for the Chiefs. That's Ryan Poles, so he's more of a scouting guy. And then there's Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who I think I mentioned to you maybe last
yes.
week, who's the VP mm-hmm. of football operations for the Browns. So these are younger people. These come from, I know the Browns didn't have a great year, but they built a really good roster and didn't get very good quarterback play this year, but thought to be very progressive organization in the Browns. And the Chiefs have done it a little more of an old school way, but they've managed the cap really well. They've scouted really well, and not just with Patrick Mahomes. They've built a very good roster around him. So these are our types. I mean, they're different in the way that one is more analytics focused and worked in kind of a Wall Street situation before football. Adofo-Mensah was that way, and Ryan Poles was more of the former player scout, but both kind of coming from that newer school, aren't as experienced, get fresh eyes on this organization. So I think that, I mean, people will be happy with that. It's impossible for us to say, great hire. I mean, who knows, right? Like, everyone thought Gerson
right.
Rosas was a great hire. But in terms of our type, these are our type.
Yeah. Unless it's somebody who's had the job already and you evaluate what he did, it's harder to say because it makes sense. We see this all the time, all across sports. A team assembles talent, and certainly the Chiefs stand out more, but you're right about the Browns. There's a lot of talent on the Browns. And you try to pick from that group. So let's go to the head coaching side. The hot name of the last, 96 hours has become Raheem Morris for just emasculating the Arizona Cardinals on Monday night, where Kyler Murray at times looked like me. I mean, it's hard to see a guy who was probably the MVP of the league the first half looking that frightened. That rattled. Raheem Morris, part of the Tampa Bay group that even had the fumes still of Tony Dungy. And when he took over as the head coach, he was awfully young. But since then, he's bounced around. He took over in Atlanta. He even has some offensive experience from his time in Atlanta. So he's not just a defense coordinator. He's younger. He's in his mid-40s. He has the great respect of a lot of star players. So sometimes in these searches, Matthew, as you know very well, there's a guy who captures kind of the imagination of the state for about 3 days, and then you forget about him. What about Morris? Does this one have further lasting power, do you think? And what do you think of him and maybe another candidate or two that stands out?
Yeah, no, I think it does make a lot of sense to look very closely at Raheem Morris. The only thing is, you know, we're going to start playing the connections game with people like Ryan Poles, who has connections
yep.
to a lot of different candidates here. I think there's a college connection to Brian Daboll. You have Eric Bieniemy there. I think he was in Kansas City when Doug Peterson was there. So we're going to play that game. But Raheem Morris is one of the most intriguing candidates because on the offensive side of things, when he was in Atlanta, he was their passing game coordinator and assistant coach. I mean, so that's a really big role. And think about, you know, his years there, that's when Matt Ryan won MVP. That's when they went to the Super Bowl. And if you look at their passing game statistics during that time, which, you know, I know doesn't guarantee that he'll bring that here, but it's pretty darn impressive. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator there when they went to the Super Bowl as well. And if you look at, you know, the offenses that are being played this weekend, a lot of them have that Shanahan influence, and Kyle Shanahan is still the best of the best when it comes to drawing it up. And, you know, I mean, you look at the way that Debo Samuel has been used out there. I think a lot of people think, should that have been Cordarrelle Patterson here? I mean, so you have to kind of draw these connections of, well, he was there, so he'll try to do this and make assumptions. Again, it's hard to really say how much was just Kyle Shanahan and how much was Raheem Morris there, but he is one of the very rare candidates who has had successful times on the offensive side and successful times on the defensive side. I think that's what makes him stand out. But then, you know, these other names are popping up too. Like Dan Quinn seems to be a hot candidate. I don't know why exactly. You know, I think that he was okay in Atlanta, but his defense was kind of lucky this year with the amount of turnovers they got in Dallas. But he seems to be like a culture guy, and I think that the Vikings, you know, anytime you have an old stodgy
we're
coach,
obsessed
who,
by that.
Right, you know, who left it, you know, in ruins at the end with how he managed people, you're going to look for the next guy who is the nice guy and the player coach and all that. So, you know, I think that it's still very much up in the air, but, you know, Raheem Morris would be a guy that I think would be at the top of their list.
Let's do this. Let's pause with Matthew, keep him around another segment. And I want to ask Matthew when we come back this question. Since the Wilfs have decided to interview for dual responsibilities, if they hire one of the two that Tommy Pelissero is saying they're down to, but then one of these GMs likes somebody else, but the Wilfs and the others have fallen in love with a head coaching candidate, how does that work out? And then we'll also talk to Matthew about the playoffs. Caller, Purple Insider, sign up right now during this break. Matthew Caller with us from Purple Insider. So I set it up, Matthew. The Wilfs have decided to conduct these dueling position interviews with numerous candidates for GM and numerous candidates for head coach. And you mentioned how our mutual friend Tom Pelissero has narrowed down the list to two for the GM. So let's say they pick either the Chiefs guy or the Browns guy, but then the Wolves sit down and Brzezinski's a part of this and others are a part, and they say, you know what we really like? We really like A, okay? We were like A. We thought A was very impressive. It is an interesting position, in particular if your boss is saying, wow, we really like A, but you seemingly have a connection to somebody else. And even if they say to you, hey, let's say you're the hire. Matthew, go ahead and hire you want. But if the owner of the team is all saying, but man, I was really impressed by this, it can be a difficult position to be in.
I mean, that goes for just about everything, right? I mean, I've been talking about on the show about how if you're a GM candidate, you come in and you say, now, folks, I know that both of you owners and all your friends and family have Dalvin Cook jerseys, but when look at his contract and look at running backs at his age, everything else. Like, there's got to be a lot of difficult conversations with the Wilfs about, you know, some of these players, the roster, where they stand. And then, you know, like you said, the head coach. And I think that that's one of the reasons that, you know, the ownership wanted to have interviews with the coaches at the same time or first in some cases, is to get their feeling. You cannot, if you're the new GM, hire a coach that ownership is not comfortable with or happy with, because you are asking to get fired if it goes wrong. I mean, that's just the reality. Like, you absolutely have to have the owners first. And I know that everyone always wants to say, well, owners, you step aside. And they'll tell you that they do. They'll say, oh, well, we let our guys make all the decisions and everything else. But, I mean, if you're laying down the millions and millions of dollars for this thing to happen, I mean, you want somebody that you wanted. I mean, the same thing goes for the quarterback situation and everything else, that as they have these conversations, the Wilfs have to say, we want Kirk to say, or we want Kirk to go, and the general manager is going to have to work around that. Publicly, they'll always say, we're hands off, we're hands off. But that just can't entirely be the case. And in fact, maybe they were a little too much hands off and didn't know what was going on with some of the stuff with Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman until the very end. So, you know, I think that that is a tricky part of it. And my guess is that ownership will probably say, here's the people we talk to that we're comfortable with. You pick one.
Purple Insider, Matthew Caller. I'm looking right now. Another long, long list of mailbag questions and really good questions. So check it out today. If you could only watch one of the four playoff games this weekend, which game are you watching?
Bills, Kansas City, no question, by far, so far ahead of every other game. I mean, that is the game for me. That might be the Super Bowl right there. I mean, I think that those are the two strongest teams. I mean, the Bills have the number one defense. Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the world, as he's shown in the second half of the season. And it's at Arrowhead Stadium, Bills, Kansas City. And remember, when I was growing up, you had Joe Montana was a Kansas City Chief coming to play Buffalo against yes. Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly and all those guys. So, I mean, this one, I think that's the best game, hands down.
And I'm glad you said that about Mahomes, because I was making this point to Adam a couple times the last few weeks. And I get Rodgers is going to be the MVP, and we're watching Brady play all the time. I think we take Mahomes somehow, bizarrely, for granted. If he wins this game, and I'm with you, that'd be the game I'd pick also. The 49ers-Packers, close second. He wins this game, he's going to his fourth straight AFC championship game. He might be looking at his third straight Super Bowl, and he plays the game like nobody's ever played the game before.
Right. I mean, he's the most exciting player probably, I mean, at the quarterback position ever. I mean, Michael Vick might be up there, but he couldn't throw the ball like this.
I'd take Mahomes.
The most creative player. I mean, the Kansas City, this is a funny thing. People talked about, these defenses, they finally solved Kansas City. They finished fourth in points scored this year and second in the AFC. I mean, if that's getting solved, that was going through a little bit of a rough patch of a handful of games, and then they made adjustments and then threw right back to it. To see the top defense in the league and a brilliant defensive mind in Sean McDermott with a lot of talent on that team, and then another quarterback on the other side who is just as creative and has just as big of an arm but isn't quite, he's more volatile, he's not quite as consistent as Mahomes. I mean, this is just – I wish it was the AFC Championship game, because this is the perfect matchup.
Minute to go. Give me the most likely scenario for the Packers over the next potentially three games for Aaron Rodgers to stay for at least another year or to leave right away after this season. What happens in either scenario?
Yeah, I think if they were to lose this weekend – and it was the fact that they didn't have enough receivers is why they lost. That could be because really that's what happened in Tampa Bay last year. Like against Tampa Bay, is Tampa Bay shut down Devontae Adams and Rodgers didn't have other people to throw to, and he was upset. I think if they reach the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl, that Rodgers is staying. I think that winning kind of cures all here.
I'm with you. 100%. All right, brother. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll talk next week.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Matthew Caller keeps you plugged in with Purple Insider, including following him on Twitter, at Matthew Caller, or following Purple Insider. Thank you so much for taking any time over the week, over the month, over the year, for listening to us, even when we drive you nuts. We still appreciate it. Love to have you follow us on Twitter, at Chad Hartman Show, at Dan Cook WCCO, and at AC830. Paul and Jordana are next. Stay warm and enjoy the weekend, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.